blessing.
Tell you what, it always feels good to come back home. And I say that because this is the church that I got saved in.
Yeah.
Just a few rows back there several years ago, on a Sunday morning, gave my life to the Lord. And I tell you what, it's humbling and it's an honor to come back and preach for you all. To be a part of your revival and homecoming, you know, it sure is an honor to stand behind the pulpit here tonight. And, you know, I'll tell you what, sometimes as a preacher, your nerves, you start to get a little bit nervous. And as I was listening to the brother testify, you know, brother, I'll tell you what, I could listen to you talk all night. Your voice, something about it, it just calms me. And it was calming me while I was sitting there getting blessed. Brother Jimmy leans over and asks me if I was nervous. And I said, all of those nerves started coming back a little bit. But Brother Jimmy, I'll tell you what, I started thinking, and you're right. It's designed that way for a purpose.
Yeah,
it's
right,
to keep
right,
us humble. Because you know what? We can't do this by ourselves.
That's right.
We can't do it alone. You know, if I get up here and have the attitude where I say, you know what? I can do it all by myself. You're not going to get anything out of it, and neither am I, because I can't do it by myself.
Yeah, right.
And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed listening to your testimony. I believe we were with you guys when you were at Fairview. So that's the last time I seen you guys. So you were a blessing then. You sure were a blessing tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started to wonder if you had got into my sermon notes a little bit, because I'm looking at the title of this message, and it's titled The Still Small Voice.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know, if we just mind the Lord, and, you know, it's amazing how God just ties everything in together. And I pray here tonight that this is a blessing to you, because this message and these passages have been a blessing to me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, anytime I find myself in the position that Elijah found himself in during this time, and we find ourselves in the position that Elijah was in more often than not. And I'll tell you, you know, because Elijah was a man of like passions like we are.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we fight the same devil that Elijah fought. But you know what? We still serve the same God that can save us from the uttermost, that can bring us out of the cave. So if you'll stand with me here tonight and open up to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19 and verse 8.
Amen.
Yeah. 1 Kings, chapter 19 and verse 8. Sometimes I give messages titles. Sometimes it helps me to remember what I'm preaching on. But this is the still small voice of God. And as the sister sang first when she first got up here, some of the lyrics from the song says, "When I hear you whisper, you're not done with me yet."
Yeah.
And you know, when I listen to that still small voice, you know, when the devil tells us there's no use of going forward, when the devil tells us that there's no use of serving God anymore, it's that still small voice that whispers into our ear that says, you know what? Don't listen to that voice.
Amen.
Listen to me and keep going forward. And you know what? We just need to be mindful here. And I pray that this message is an encouragement to you. And I know that if you just mind the Lord, I know He's going to bless you. If you need to come and use the altar at any time, you're not going to offend me. If you've got to pray, whatever it is you need to do, if you need to shout, if you need to say amen, you know, you just mind the Lord here tonight. I feel the Spirit here tonight.
Yeah.
I feel very free in my heart and soul here tonight. So 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for blessing us here tonight. We thank you, Lord, so much for what you've already done. And you've touched our hearts so much through testimony and song so far this evening. And we thank you so much for the saints that have been mindful to you here tonight, God. And I pray that if there's anybody dealing with sin in their life, And I pray that if there's anybody dealing with, if there's a struggle with any Christian here tonight, or if there's a lost individual here tonight, I pray, God, that you deal with them. I pray, God, that you touch their hearts and soften their hearts. And we know that we're living in a day and age where what we do is not popular, it never has been popular. But I know there's more resistance coming upon the gospel and the word more and more every single day. And I pray that we stand fast in our faith. And I know sometimes we come into spiritual dry seasons such as Elijah did. And sometimes we want to quit and lay down our sword. And I pray, God, that you just help us be a blessing to one another and an encouragement here to this, tonight, God. Help us to uplift and edify one another, God. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering here tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. You know, there's a book that I bought several months ago. It was titled The Great Welsh Revival. And it was led, I should say it was led by the Lord. But there was a man by the name of S.B. Shaw that started praying for a revival when he was 14 years old. And he prayed for 12 years. It wasn't until he was 26 years old that God answered his prayer. Yeah. And when he was 26 years old, God sent that town that he was in, that he was ministering in, a revival. Yeah. And it said that that revival was so powerful that it changed the character of the town.
Yeah.
It changed the character of the town. They said overnight the drinking stopped, the bars were empty, and it changed literally the character and the well-being of that town overnight. They said denominations put aside their differences. They put aside their little petty differences that we know that we all argue with each and every single day. I think a lot of times as Christians we spend more time debating each other rather than leading the lost to the Lord. Amen. And that's the goal in this life. Jesus left the 99 for the one. And I'll tell you what, if I only lead one person to the Lord in my life, you know what? It'll be worth it for me. I want to lead more, but if I can just get to one, Jesus said, if I can just get to one, it'll be worth it. And that revival touched that town and it changed it overnight. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't because they had a powerful preacher. It wasn't because they had powerful singers. It wasn't because they had a beautiful building. It wasn't because of any of those things. They didn't have a big bank account. But it started off with a man who had prayed on his hands and knees, praying for revival. Something in this young man stirred in his heart where he wanted to see revival come to his community. And when I listen to testimonies about people being hooked on drugs and opioids and heroin in this day and age, and you know what? It's a problem in this community. It's a problem in other communities. It's a problem in our country. And you know what? People lose their lives to that battle every single day. Yeah. But you know what? There is a battle going on right now with Christians. Christians are getting weary. And you know what? We do get weary in this life. And that's when we need to lean on each other rather than argue with each other. Yeah. And Elijah, you know what? He thought that he was by himself. He thought that he was alone. And Elijah right now, he's in the middle of a spiritual battle. Maybe you're in the middle of a spiritual battle here tonight. Maybe God's dealing with you. Maybe you're struggling with answering a call. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're struggling with some sort of an addiction here tonight. Maybe God's dealing with you in that way. Maybe he's dealing with you in the form of salvation. But Elijah, in these passages that I read to you leading up to this, we know that we had just seen one of the greatest miracles in all the Bible happen on Mount Carmel. Yeah. He had just rained down the fire from the heavens. God had just sent the fire down, and he used Elijah to destroy the prophets of Baal. He had used Elijah in that way. And you know what? Those prophets were destroyed. But you know what? Elijah did not see the results from that he intended to see. Right. I think maybe he thought everybody was going to get right. It was going to change. Right. Everything was going to change. The town was going to change, and everybody was going to get right with God and start worshiping the one true God. But you know what? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Elijah went and he was on the run, and he was very depressed at this point in his life. And he was about ready to throw in the towel because he did not get the results that he wanted to from the previous battle that he had. And we know that he's tired. We know that he's weary and he's ready to give up. He says, what's the use? Look at everything, God, that you have just done. You destroyed. Clearly, that was you. How could they not see that that was you? But you know what? God is not in the... He is... That is not what's going to save people. And that's what Elijah did not understand at this point. He still had a little bit of learning to do, just as we all do. Yeah. And sometimes we feel like Elijah, where we say, how could the world not see that this is a movement of God? But as we said before, it's not those things that's going to touch hearts. It's not those things that are going to change towns. It's not those things. It's not the miracles that are going to save people. It is the still small voice of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Elijah said, what's the use? The people had seen the glory of God. If that's not going to save them, then what is? So he took off and he ran. He took off and he ran. Elijah needed strengthening at this point, not only spiritually, but physically. We said he was worn down. He was beat down. The first thing I want to tell you here tonight is that God's voice strengthens us. Amen. God's word strengthens us.
Amen.
And sometimes we need different forms of strength. And Elijah needed, we said, physical and spiritual strength. How many times do you need physical and spiritual strength in your life where you're beat down in your body, where you don't feel like you can go on anymore? David had got to this point in his life where he was older. He had been serving God for a long time. He was weary in the battle and he had decided to stay home from the battle. But that decision cost him everything.
Yeah.
It cost him his testimony. It cost him his witness because he didn't have the strength to go on. When we don't have the strength to go on, that's when we rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he will carry us the rest of the way.
Amen.
And what do I mean when I say rely upon the Lord? Rely upon his word. This is where we get our spiritual nourishment from right here. This is where we get our spiritual strength.
Amen.
This is where we get our spiritual strength from, is from the word of God. And Elijah had just experienced that great victory. And then right after that great victory, he had experienced a tremendous letdown. How many times after revival meetings, after God does something great in your life, do you experience a letdown, or the devil comes after you with everything that he has? That's usually when you got to keep your guard up. You've got to keep it up all the time. Don't get me wrong. But usually after God does something great in your life, you can mark it down that the devil's going to come after you, not just you, but you and your family with everything that he has, because he wants to destroy any amount of testimony in your life. He wants you to lay down your sword. He would have killed Job if he would have had the chance. If God would have said, don't harm a hair on his head, you can mark it down that Satan would have walked right into his house and he would have killed Job. That's what he wants. He wants to kill each and every single one of us here tonight. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy. He wants to kill. And especially families. He's destroying families today. And if he can destroy the families, if he can get to the families, then he can get to the church. And if he can get to the church, then he can get to our nation. And that's what's happening.
Amen.
The nation's in its shape that it's in is because churches are divided. And why are churches divided? Because homes are divided.
Right.
Because we're not feeding ourselves spiritually with the Word of God. We're feeding ourselves with garbage, with junk that's on the TV, that's on the computer. Wherever it is, we are feeding ourselves with junk and we're not feeding our children. You know, I just started back school for teaching. It's something that I've been praying about for a long time. And I spent a little bit of time in the classroom today with one of the teachers in the third grade. Third grade math, it took me back. The sweat started coming down my head. And the teacher had asked me, he's like, I'm going to let you do the next problem. I'm going to let you go up to the board. And I started shaking and I looked at him. I said, really? I said, I felt like I was back in grade school. I hated when the teacher would ask me to go up to the board and do the problem. I'd assume just sit back and watch everybody else. I was the one that sat back in the corner and said, you know what, I'll let this guy answer it. I'll let him do it. That's how I was. But you know what? He started talking about the types of some of the kids that have come through his classroom. He didn't name any names. But you know what? He said he had one kid last year that claimed to be in a gang in third grade. And it made me realize that I'm not doing a good enough job at feeding my family spiritually like I should. Yes, we're in church. Yes, I've answered the call to preach in my life. But you know what? I need to do better. Because sometimes I get weary.
Yeah.
But you know what? I need to dig deeper in my own life and lead my family better. I thank the Lord that He's still working on me.
Yeah.
And you know what? Elijah had experienced a great letdown here. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.
Yeah.
Elijah was ready to die.
Right.
he had fought so hard for so long and he didn't get the results that he wanted. He said, what's the use? I have put all this work into my ministry. I have put all this work into it. And look, it didn't even have an effect. The people looked up and they said, yeah, that's God. But notice they didn't look up and say, that's our God. The world may say, yeah, that's God, but what God are they talking about? Because it's something personal with me. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I experienced something personal in my life. Yeah. It wasn't religion. It wasn't about a denomination. It wasn't about a church. It wasn't about a preacher. It was about a man named Jesus Christ. When I was sitting in that pew, the still small voice of God spoke to me, and it touched my heart, and it forced me to make a decision and get up out of my seat in front of the church, in front of the world, and make a decision for Him. And that's what I had to do.
Amen.
And we said he was weary. And we do feel this way when we serve God. I've got to get out the hanky. You know what this is? What do they do in battle when they wave the white flag? It means they surrender. But I'm just going to surrender to God here tonight. The Lord wasn't done with Elijah yet. And you know that song that the sister sang, when I hear you whisper, you're not done with me yet. God wasn't done with Elijah yet.
Right.
And you know, I believe if Satan would have had his way with Elijah, without God's protection, Jezebel would have killed him.
Yeah.
She would have destroyed him, and she wanted to. She wanted to absolutely annihilate Elijah. I'm talking about a hatred to where she wanted to kill him.
Right.
An absolute hatred, and that's the hatred that the world has for the gospel.
Yeah.
For what we do here tonight. That's the hatred that the devil has for this. He wanted to destroy Elijah's ministry. And he said, you know what? I've got him on the run. I've got the great prophet Elijah on the run. He's running and is hiding and he wants to quit. But Elijah can't quit. You can't quit here tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not saying that because I'm saying it. I'm saying it because God sent his only begotten son all the way to the cross to die for you and me.
Amen.
It wasn't for nothing. He shed his blood.
Yeah.
He was spit on. He was beat. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. They beat him with that cat of nine tails over and over and over again. And they spit on him. And you know what? Even the scenes that they show in the movies don't even do that justice.
Right.
I guarantee it.
Right,
Jesus didn't have to do that. He left all the glories of heaven for you and me.
Yeah.
He left all the glories of heaven for you and me so that we might be able to have the opportunity to inherit eternal life. And when I say might, means not everybody's going to get saved.
Yeah,
right. Not everybody's going to figure this thing out. And we know the Lord wasn't done with Elijah yet. Scripture says the hand of the Lord was still on Elijah and he wasn't quite finished with him. There was still more work for Elijah to do. God wasn't quitting on Elijah. It says in Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Jesus meant it. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what happens, no matter what your employer says or your boss says, the devil may say that you're not worthy here tonight, but God said you are worthy when he sent his only begotten son to die for you on the cross. You are worthy here tonight. You are worth it. We know that there is none righteous. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus Christ thought what we were worth dying for.
Yeah.
I don't know what he saw in me that was worth dying for. A dirty, rotten sinner. But he saw something in us that was worth dying for. He knew the only way that we were going to be reconciled with God was if he left all the glories of heaven.
Yeah.
He said, I will go with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that's something that gets inside of me here tonight.
Yeah.
It's like a burning fire shut up in my bones, just as the prophet Jeremiah said. It is a burning fire. It should get a hold of us. It should excite us.
Amen.
And you see, God gave Elijah exactly what he needed when he was under that juniper tree to continue his journey. He gave him exactly what he needed. And he gives us exactly what we need.
Yes.
He feeds Elijah, we said, spiritually and physically. And as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Why did God send the angel? Why did he send the angel? Because he wanted to know that the food that he was about to partake in was from God.
Yeah.
He didn't want to just give him any old cake. He gave him a cake straight. It was baked on the coals of heaven.
Yeah.
This cake came straight down from the glory of heaven. Manna from above.
Yeah.
He wanted Elijah to know that this cake was from God. That this portion was from God. Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And I'll tell you what, when I look at those passages of Scripture, when I see how God gave Elijah exactly what he needed, right when he needed it, it lets me know that in my life that God's going to give me what I need right when I need it. And I can think of time and time again to when, you know what, I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the bills, Brother Mike. I didn't know if I was going to be able to put groceries on the table for my family. And I'll tell you what, when we moved down to Arkansas, I was still very, very young Christian. 4 years into serving God, and I'm still a young Christian. And you know what? It was the first time in my life that I had been tested in a financial way in my Christian life, that I had been tested spiritually by God testing me in my finances. And I had to rely on other people to provide us meals. And sometimes you would see a check show up in the mail, a random check. Well, somebody said, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. And it's when you get things like that, encouragement from other Christians to know that, you know what, God, I've got to keep going.
Amen.
I've got to keep on that firing line. I've got to keep doing this. I can't quit. There's too many that are quitting that are laying down their swords. And he didn't. We said our strength, physically and spiritually, sometimes gets weary. We sometimes get tired, and that's okay. It's natural. Your body's going to give out. Jesus' body gave out under the weight of the cross. He needed help. And if he needed help carrying the cross, how much more help do we need?
Yeah.
Elijah gets up under that juniper tree to seek refuge again this time, but this time he goes into a cave. You know what? God gave him the portion. God gave him the food. God gave him the strength spiritually and physically. And Elijah is still being stubborn and saying, you know what? I'm going in a cave. I'm going deeper into my depression, into my cave.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it. I'm telling you, God, I don't want to go any farther. But does God back off and say, you know what, Elijah, I'm going to give up on you and I'm just going to send somebody else? That's happened before. Not where God's given up on people, to where people have given up on God. Yeah. And God has said, you know what, I'm going to have to send somebody else to do it. But that isn't the case here with Elijah. And Elijah, he rose and he did eat and drink. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Unto Oreb, the Mount of God, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars. Do you see what he's doing here? He's having a pity party.
Right.
He's complaining.
Yeah.
He said, they didn't believe. All of Israel, nobody believes. It's just me. I'm the only one that's left. Do you ever feel like that as Christians? Sometimes we serve God and we say, well, we're the only church that's serving God.
Come on.
As a Christian, you say, well, I'm the only one that's serving God. Is there anybody else that's serving God but me? That's what happened to Elijah. He got a little arrogant. He got a little haughty. You know what? There's always a remnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
God always leaves a remnant, no matter where we're at, no matter what time period we're in. When you turn on the TV and you see our country and you see the world fighting with one another, know that there is a remnant inside of that chaos, inside of that turmoil, inside all those angry mobs shouting and cursing at one another. There is a remnant left. Yep. That is still preaching the word of God. And
amen.
I believe it is that remnant that's keeping our country afloat.
Amen.
And just like us, a lot of times, Elijah's making excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse as to why not to do God's will. And I found myself there myself. I'm sure we all have as Christians.
Sure.
And he's trying to avoid doing God's will. He's doing everything he can to get out of it. And God doesn't sugarcoat things. He doesn't sugarcoat things. God's very clear in his word what he says. He means what he says and says what he means.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you here tonight, Elijah, where are we at? He's in a cave. It's where Elijah's at right now. He's in a cave.
Yeah.
He got up from underneath that juniper tree and he said, you know what, God, you won't leave me alone, so I'm going to go in a cave.
Yeah.
After Elijah had just seen what God done, you think Elijah, you think God won't find him in a cave?
Yeah.
Sometimes we think that God doesn't see what we do.
Come on.
And sometimes we think God doesn't know what we think.
That's right.
But he knows what we think and what we say before we ever think it and say it.
Yeah.
It's all haughty and arrogant for us to think that we can outthink God or run away from God. Yeah. But you know what? That's a blessing to me. To know that God always knows where we're at. Yeah. And knows what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He knows my heart. The woman at the well. He knew everything about this woman.
Yeah.
But yet he still loved her anyway. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm telling you here tonight. If you're in a cave here tonight. If you're struggling here tonight, if you're running from church to church, if you leave somewhere because you're angry, going someplace else isn't going to solve that problem.
Right.
What did Elijah do? He wasn't satisfied with where he was at in the ministry. The juniper tree wasn't good enough, so he went into the cave. Well, what's the difference between the juniper tree and a cave? Well, the cave just goes deeper. He just went deeper and deeper into his retreat. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
He's still running from God. Maybe you're running here tonight. Maybe you're on the run and you don't want to answer God's call. Maybe you don't want to deal with the sin in your life. Maybe you don't want to deal with the struggle. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you don't want to confront things. And I'm telling you, if you stay under that juniper tree, if you stay in that cave for too long, the Lord's going to pass you by.
Yeah.
You're going to miss out on some of the greatest blessings.
Amen.
That life that God wants to bless you with. And that's about ready to happen to Elijah.
Yeah.
The Lord is about ready to pass by. What is Elijah going to do? Is he going to stay in the cave? And that's the great thing about serving God. He gives us free will.
Amen. Sure does.
Elijah could have stayed in that cave. He could have made the decision to stay where he was at. And you know what? Maybe he would have lived out his life just fine. We don't know. But Elijah didn't do that. God says, Elijah, it's time to get out of the cave.
Yeah. Come on.
Maybe you're here in a cave tonight, and I'm telling you here tonight, it's time to get out of the cave, Christian.
Jesus.
It's time to pick up your sword. It's time to dust off your Bible.
Right.
It's time to go out into the world
and
take the great commission that is the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Right,
I'm tired in my own life. I'm tired in my own life of mulling things over.
Come on now.
And then that's a question that you have to answer in your own life.
Yeah.
Where are you at spiritually? There are people here under this roof here tonight that I don't know what you're dealing with, but God does.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know what each other's dealing with, but God does.
Amen.
And just as Elijah here tonight, what happened next? And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. He said, Elijah, I want you to get out of the cave. And I want you to stand upon this mountain. Because you know what? I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you everything you need.
Yeah.
And you just got to come out of the cave. See, God's not... You know, you hear all the time. All the time. Well, if God wills it, it'll happen, Brother Mike. You know, if God wants my relative to get saved, Brother Jimmy, it'll happen. If God wills it, it'll happen. Well, you know what? You've got to do the work. We're God's hands and feet.
Amen.
Elijah had to come out of the cave in order to be revived.
Yeah.
In order to get those blessings from God, Elijah had to come out of the cave.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, Elijah spent a lot of his time running at this point. And you know what? Elijah needed to be awoken. He needed to be revived. And God's word not only strengthens us spiritually, God's voice not only strengthens us, but that still small voice sometimes needs to awaken us. And it cannot be from the fire. And you know what? God uses miracles. He used that fire to get the attention of the enemy.
Yeah.
Now, there were some that got right, but not everybody.
Yeah.
Elijah wanted everybody to get it right.
Yeah.
Not everybody in this life is going to get it right.
Oh, right.
How many times do we get frustrated when we minister, when we witness, and nobody gets saved? Or only a couple people get saved, and we want everybody to get it. Noah, he preached for 120 years for men and women to get on that boat. For 120 years, and it was just him and his family.
Right.
Nobody in that world that he witnessed to for 120 years while he built that boat got saved. How frustrating would that be? But he kept working. He kept at it.
Yeah.
Because God told him to. It was a still small voice that whispered in his ear.
Amen.
That told him to continue. Elijah's needs refreshed at this point in his life. God's given him the stamina to continue his journey. But it's not. He's got the physical strength now, but now he's just dealing with things spiritually. And you know what? We can try to do this thing ourselves. As I said, we can try. We can have all this physical strength that the world could give us. But if we don't have it spiritually in our heart, you're going to miss heaven by that much. By a foot. You can have it here, but if you don't have it here. And right now, Elijah's having some heart trouble. He's wanting to go home and be with the Lord. But God says, Elijah, you got to wake up. You got to get out of that cave. And God's not messing around this time, because the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you think God didn't know what Elijah was doing? And as we said, Elijah was having a pity party for himself. And as we said, God, he didn't speak to Elijah in the wind. He didn't speak to him in fire. He didn't speak to him in the earthquake. But it was the still small voice that brought him out of the cave. God uses those things to get our attention all the time. 9/11 was a horrible event. I was just 16 years old, but I believe God was trying to get the attention of our country. God allowed those things to happen because we needed to be woke up. Where are we at? That was 17 years ago. I believe we're farther away from God than when we were 17 years ago. I believe spiritually we're farther away than where we were. And I believe we need to listen to this still small voice that is still speaking to hearts today. I still believe in that still small voice that speaks to hearts. And it was that still small voice that Elijah heard. Because in verse 13 it says it was so when Elijah heard it. That was when he came out. That's how the Bible speaks in Psalms that the word of the Lord is powerful and majestic. In Psalms, it's powerful and majestic. It's powerful than any earthquake. It's powerful than more powerful than any fire. It's more powerful than anything this world has to offer. And it was that still small voice when Elijah heard it, after all that ruckus, all those noises, all those things that God was causing to happen around him. It wasn't until Elijah heard that voice, because it was a sound that he had heard before. It was a sound of comfort. It was a sound of encouragement. It was a sound of power. And you know what? When Elijah heard that voice, he knew he needed to listen. You know when you hear the voice of God in your life speaking to your heart that you better listen up, that you need to listen. And I'm telling you here tonight, church, if you're in a cave, if you're on the run, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with addiction, if you're lost, God is trying to speak to you here tonight. And you better listen, because the Lord just may pass you by, and it may be the last time on this side of heaven that he passes you by, because you never know when you lay your head down on the pillow that this may be the last breath that you take on this side of heaven, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. Remember that here tonight. Elijah heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need preachers. We need men of God that will preach the gospel. Elijah had a choice to make. He had a choice. What's he going to do? Is he going to stay in the cave? Now I'm finishing up here. If you'll give me just a few more moments. Elijah had a choice to make. As we said, he could have stayed in that cave, hiding and running from doing the will of God. To me, that would be no way to live the rest of my life. Living in that kind of misery, running from the will of God. I know what it's like, and you do that are here, that are saved here tonight, know what it's like the first time God, that still small voice, spoke to your heart. And it took me a little while before I actually answered that call. And I was running from it. I remember my wife nudging me in the church pew, simply asking me what I'm waiting for. And she wasn't trying to bully me to come up here. She wasn't trying to drag me up here. Of course, she probably wanted to. Because between her witness and testimony and hearing the preacher, I had heard all that I needed to hear. What was I waiting on? And I simply said, I don't know. I don't know. Elijah had a choice to make. And you know what? Just like all of us have a choice to make here tonight. Elijah made that choice. God's voice needed to revive Elijah. It strengthened him physically and spiritually. It awoken him. And finally it revived him. And as we said, The devil, understand, he always tries to isolate. He tries to isolate you. Was it a battle for you to get here tonight? Is it a battle for you to get to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Is it a battle for you just to come? If it is, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Because when the Amalekites were coming out, or when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, the Amalekites, they attacked them. And you know how they would attack the Israelites when they were coming out? They wouldn't attack from the front. They wouldn't take out the strongest first. They would go in the back. And they would take out the women and the children and the elderly and the sick. You know, the devil doesn't fight fair.
Amen.
He doesn't fight fair.
Amen.
And I'm telling you here tonight, it's not easy, church. It's not supposed to be. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that when you get saved or when you become a Christian or when you walk out of here tonight, it's going to be easier because you just came from revival. It's going to get harder and it's going to get more challenging. And the devil, we said he convinced David to stay home. And the devil almost had Elijah. He almost had him. And you know what? If Elijah would have decided to ignore God's voice, you know there never would have been an Elisha. We never would have had Elisha's ministry because Elisha was to minister to Elisha. And all the things that he would have went on and done and the people that he would have ministered to and the people that learned under him and so on and so forth and the churches that ended up growing from that ministry and so on and so forth would have never happened.
Right.
Somebody may be waiting on your testimony here tonight.
Yeah.
Christian, somebody may be waiting on you to get out of the cave.
Yeah.
Somebody may be waiting on you to come up from underneath the juniper tree to minister to them, to witness to them.
Yeah.
Somebody's soul right now may hang in the balance. Maybe it's your testimony that's going to help lead them to the Lord. So I ask you to stand here tonight. If we could get them to get a psalm. You know, we said it was the still small voice that brought Elijah out of the cave. It's the still small voice that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. You remember the three Hebrew children? It was the still small voice that spoke to them after God brought them through the fire. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's the kind of God that we serve. He'll protect us in the fire. We won't even smell like we've been through the fire. We won't even look like we've been through the fire. Sometimes His protection is so great. And then there's times where we need to go through the fire to be refined, to learn, to grow. And as they play here tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have a need here tonight, I'm telling you, these altars are open. Christian, these altars are not just for the lost.